Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, a lot of people in our listening audience are probably very familiar with two things. One, they're very familiar with AWANA, you know, an AWANA program, which a lot of churches have AWANA programs running in those churches and so forth. And if you're not familiar with it, you know, it's basically a discipling ministry to children and teens. And they do a lot of various types of teaching and activities associated with that teaching to teach the lessons and so forth. I remember in churches that I was associated with many years ago, they had an AWANA's program. And one of the things I remember is they do this derby, you know, where they make these little wooden cars. And I forget exactly what the name of that derby is called, but the kids are given a little block. They make a car out of that block, a lot of times either with their father or another mentoring figure in their life. They work together on the car, and then they have these races, and it's kind of like the highlight of the year in the AWANA program about entering into that race and working together to make the weight of your car just right and so forth. So many people are associated or familiar with the idea of AWANA. A lot of people are also familiar with the fact that a lot of research that's been coming out recently, like with George Barna's research and so forth in recent years, it's reported that there's been kind of an alarming number of people, high school students, that once they get into college or up around that age, that they are jettisoning what they had learned when they were younger, you know, basically leaving the faith behind. And so it's a huge problem that's tried to be addressed in the church. Now, one of the ways that AWANA is addressing this is they have added a pretty strong apologetics aspect to their curriculum. The apologetics aspect is called Advocates in this new series that's been put out. And Sean McDowell is the has worked with them on putting together that curriculum for their program. A lot of people are familiar with Sean, but let me just say that Dr. Sean McDowell now is a professor of Christian apologetics at Biola University. Of course, he's a best-selling author, a popular speaker, and a part-time high school teacher and a resident scholar for Summit Ministries in California. And you can follow Sean out on his blog at SeanMcDowell.org. Sean, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Kevin, thanks for having me back. This is a treat.
Sean, when I think of those two things together, as I was just kind of laying out here, AWANA and apologetics, I wouldn't probably have put those two terms together previously. How did this come about that you ended up coming together with the folks there at AWANA to create this Advocate series?
Well, before they contacted me, I would have felt exactly the same that you did, because I thought of AWANA when I was a kid in probably third or fourth grade, memorized Bible verses, got kind of jewels in my crown, and just learned discipleship. It was a wonderful children's program, and it still is. Well, some friends of mine who are in a different ministry just moved into AWANA and gotten some significant positions where they could shape the vision of where the organization was going, in the high school ministry in particular. And I had no idea that AWANA has such a significant high school ministry as well. And they said, let's create a four-year cycle where each year is focused on one big theme. So the first year was discipleship. Second year is apologetics and worldview. Third year is evangelism, and then the fourth year is leadership. And when they contacted me and said, look, we've got a big constituency of people who follow our stuff. Second, we'll put resources into making this first class. Third, we'll let you help frame and influence and guide this. Are you in? I was like, you had me at hello, because this has been a dream for me to make such a comprehensive, top-quality curriculum.
Excellent. That sounds great. Let me ask you, you know, maybe some people in our listening audience, they're not as familiar with the term apologetics, although we've talked about it so much on the broadcast and so forth, and obviously yourself and other venues as well. But let's just give them a good working definition of what do we mean by apologetics.
Yeah, so we had someone call up Biola University where I work and said, why do you have classes on teaching Christians to apologize for their faith? And she literally thought we had classes like teaching people, I guess, how to say you're sorry for being a Christian. And we chuckle because that apologetic has nothing to do with that. It actually comes from the Greek term apologia. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Always be ready with an answer for the hope within. Give it with gentleness and respect. Well, the word answer or defense in Greek is apologia, is translated as apologetics. So it's actually not a spiritual gift just for pastors or radio show hosts or for professors. Actually, all Christians are called to be apologists, simply in the sense of having reasons why we believe God exists, reasons why we believe Jesus rose from the grave, reasons why we think the Bible is true, etc. So that's all apologetics is. And in fact, there's Muslim apologists, there's atheist apologists. What we want to do is have the best Christian apologists.
And when we talk about apologetics, we're talking about, first and foremost, to be able to articulate what the Christianity believes, to go to the scripture itself and to talk about what the scripture says about a given subject, like you mentioned, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth, what the scripture says. But in addition to that, then, to also talk about other evidences for it as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say apologetics, broadly speaking, has two tasks. Number one is to respond to objections that people bring against the Christian faith. So that could be objections people raise about Jesus, like how can Jesus be the only way? That could be questions where people say there's no evidence for creation. It could be where people say evil discounts God. So number one is kind of a defensive task in the sense of answering objections. But second, apologetics also entails giving positive reasons for what we believe. So here's positive reasons Jesus rose from the grave. Here's positive evidence for intelligent design. Here's positive evidence that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. So apologetics really has those two tasks as a whole in the way it approaches both Christians and non-Christians.
Now, you mentioned a couple of subjects there, and I imagine that some of those subjects that you've already mentioned appear in the list or the contents for the Advocate series with Awana. Let me ask you, though, tell us a little bit more about what would people find in that series? What kind of topics are you teaching through that Advocates series with Awana?
Well, Kevin, I can tell you, myself and about four or five other people spent weeks, and I mean weeks, sitting down thinking through every single lesson, the scope and the sequence, the passages we would use, the topics we would cover, the thoughtfulness that builds in this. I think anybody who looks at it would realize that it's really just a stunning effort to make it build sequentially in a young person's mind. So we start off with just big questions like, what is apologetics? Should Christians care about truth? How do you even use reason and logic as a Christian? Are we supposed to be thinking people? And then second, we look at different worldviews. We look at naturalism, look at pantheism, look at monotheism. And then we start to ask the question, could one worldview be true? So we look at the intersection of science and faith. And then after that, we have a really cool section we call signposts, where we look at things, how beauty in the world points towards a divine artist, or objective morality points towards a moral lawgiver. And then we start moving into the particular evidences for the Bible being true. And then we look at evidence for the historical Jesus. And then we specifically respond to the biggest objections people have, such as how can a loving God send somebody to hell? How can evil happen in the world? And we respond to these and then give young people some really practical ways to take this truth and live it out in relationship.
Sounds excellent. Sounds like a great foundation to give to the kids and the teens. Now, I noticed that, especially in the brief bio that I mentioned there, but in other places I've seen this before, that you're continuing to teach at least one class at one day a week. I can't remember what it was in high school. I find that interesting. Do you do that particularly to keep kind of your finger on the pulse of, you know, what high school students are thinking? And then I want to ask you a couple follow-up questions on that as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. I keep it for a few reasons. One being I just enjoy it and I like working with students. That's really my heartbeat and my passion is the next generation. Second, I do it because it's easy when you're a professor like I am for people to look at you and just feel like, oh, you're an aloof professor in your ivory tower. You don't really understand students. And so when I speak to pastors and I speak to youth pastors and teachers and I say, look, I'm in the classroom 3 days a week trying to work with students and apply this stuff, you get a little respect. You get a little credibility. Mm-hmm. And also just keeps it grounded for me. It keeps it real. Mm-hmm. So. And last, honestly, Kevin, my kids go to that Christian school, so teaching there helps get tuition for them. So it's just the package, and I love the school that we're at. It's so wonderful.
Yeah.
So it just really works for me at this stage in my life.
You've got a vested interest there in more ways than one.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, are you encouraged then? Is encouraged in a couple of ways. One, the young people then that you're speaking to, what are you seeing? Are you noticing the fruits of the fact that apologetics has now been refocused on over the last, maybe I could say the last 10 years or so? There's all of a sudden been a number of people that have sounded the alarm and said, wait a second, the kids don't know how to defend the faith. They can memorize a Bible verse, but as soon as somebody asks them a question, they don't know how to answer it. And so there's been a focus there. Are you seeing any fruit of that? And are you seeing, are you encouraged in general just by what's happening in the apologetic world?
Yeah, so the first book I wrote in 2006 was called Ethics, E-T-H-I-X. And the Christian Research Journal did a review on it and said this is one of a very few but growing apologetic resources for students. Nobody would say that today. Nobody would. Mm. If anything, they'd say, gosh, there's so many good resources, we don't know what to use. So the apologetics world has woken up to the importance of creating good resources. People like Lee Strobel and J. Warner Wallace and Frank Turek, and I could go on and on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a generation of apologists doing better work in the church. I think Alex McFarland is right that we live in a golden age of apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's positive signs. I mean, I was just speaking last week in D.C., and a couple kids came up to me. They were so pumped because they were actually going through the Advocate series, and they're like, can we get a selfie with you? And I'm like, sure, that, you know, whatever, it's fine. But they were actually using it, and I'm getting a lot of testimonies from kids that are responding. I think as a whole, we just have a long ways to go in the church. There's still a lot of people that don't understand what apologetics is. There's frankly some people who have had a bad experience with apologetics and write it off.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that fear it because they don't know how to really do apologetics, and they're threatened by tough questions. And actually, to be honest with you, one of the ways that we did this series intentionally was that we're challenging students and we're raising the bar beyond what you would normally get in the youth ministry. But number one, kids can do it. Number two, they love it. But number three, when a leader takes a student through this, the leaders themselves will learn.
Mm-hmm.
We designed it so these leaders will go, oh, my goodness, I see the evidence. Oh, I make these connections. And it's kind of a mini education for homeschool parents, youth pastors, Christian school teachers. They will get equipped taking students through this.
Mm, excellent. And I was just making that point this past Lord's Day in a sermon that the best way to learn something is to learn it in a way that you have to teach it to somebody else. When you know you're going to have to teach it, then, you know, it's not just information, but it's got to go deeper than that so that you'll be able to recount it to others. In fact, let me ask you this question. During that same sermon, I said that it's not just information that the Christian needs, but implementation of it as well. There's got to be an application of this into our life. And that verse that you quoted, it said, you know, about so that you would have an answer to give to those who come and ask. I always follow up the reading of that text by saying, how come nobody's coming and asking? You know, it must be because we're not living our life in the way that we ought to live. Do you find with apologetics that some people get into it because they just like to argue and they like to win the argument, but not necessarily like to actually live the life that goes along with the argument they're advocating for?
Kevin, I think that's such a good question. I recently helped my dad update his classic book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and we added a long introduction talking about why apologetics has a bad name. And one of the points I make is sometimes we do it just in a cold, rationalistic way that doesn't capture the heart, doesn't capture imagination. That's one problem that we do, and I think we address that in the advocates. We could come back to that if you want to. Second is people just, we're called in Scripture to make arguments, but that's different than being argumentative.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very, very different things. Jesus made arguments. Paul made arguments. Peter made arguments. Some of the first Christians in the second century were called apologists, but they weren't argumentative just to win an argument and make a point and sound smart. They advanced truth because they knew truth set people free. So, yes, I always tell people when I speak, when I'm in a class, even in some of my books, I say, if you're reading this or listening to this because you want to go out and win arguments, man, stop right now and just go home, because you're going to end up hurting more people than you help.
Mm-hmm.
But if you first want to learn for your own confidence, and second, you just simply want an answer to clear away objections that people have on the way to understanding who Jesus is, then apologetics is a wonderful ministry for people. And we try to balance that in this curriculum. We have a lot of learning and theology and science and apologetics, but we very carefully talk about, here's how you apply this, here's how you do it in love, here's how it should affect your life, and here's how it should affect the way you treat other people.
Mm, excellent. I think that focus there is really good, and especially from the ground level up. I was just in a conversation with a young man just before coming to the studio today, and he was talking about what influenced him in his life. He had grown up in the church and so forth, but he said it influenced him by watching people, what they did, as well as listening to what they said, that you can undo a lot of what you say by what your actual actions are afterwards. And for him, what convinced him eventually was he saw the actions in a person's life who was sharing the gospel with him, that the actions lined up with what was being said in his words. So both of those two things, it's vital that they come together. Otherwise, as you say, we could actually be an instrument of turning people away from the gospel message, and obviously none of us would want to do that.
Well, I certainly don't want to do that in this apologetics curriculum with the students. We don't want kids who have a bunch of answers who go out and argue or just talk to people in an ungracious way. In fact, I share a story in the curriculum where I had just taken apologetics class. This is about 2 decades ago, getting my hair cut, and this lady notices I'm reading. And she goes, hey, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. She said, can I ask you some questions? I said, sure. And inside I'm thinking, great, bring it on. I've got the answers. I just took a class in apologetics. And she asked me, you know, if God's so good, why would he allow evil? And I'm thinking, that's all you got? I said, what do you mean? Like, evil is good. You can't have evil without good. You can't have good without God. Have you ever thought about, your question assumes God? And then I talked about free will, and I pushed back. She asked a question. I have an answer. Well, all of a sudden, while she's cutting my hair, she steps back and she starts to cry. This lady's like 25 or 30.
Hmm.
And she goes, this is a bunch of expletive. You know, I'll let your listeners imagine what she said.
Yeah.
She goes, you have an answer for everything. It can't be that simple. And I changed the subject, gave her a big tip. I felt bad. When I was walking out, I said to my friend, I'm like, man, what's up with her? Miss Sensitive. And he looks at me. I'll never forget it, Kevin. He said, do you have any idea how arrogant you were towards her?
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized I wanted to win an argument. I wanted to sound smart. I was not really interested in loving this person and listening. That's why when somebody asks me, you know, that question, why does God allow evil? I always say, of all the questions that you can ask a Christian, why that one? Because my hunch is it's often more personal than it is intellectual.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In this curriculum, we're giving kids solid intellectual answers, but I want to shape their hearts so they're sensitive and they're kind and they're gracious and ultimately loving.
Amen. Well, good point. I love it. And we don't want to see people as just notches on our belt so that we can go back to the Bible study and say, you know, look what I did. You know, I shot down these arguments and won this person over. But to actually see them as souls, you know, the living souls. And I kind of advocate that, no pun intended, but in the in just talking with people about the gospel message, that sometimes you can't have just a canned speech that you just, well, let me give you the four spiritual laws or something, you know, and then you just start from there. But you actually have to listen to them first to find out, you know, where the starting point the Holy Spirit would have you enter into the discussion with them, right? So it's not just, here's my script. Okay, I gave my script out five times today, you know, so I did my duty. It's much more interactive that way and more Spirit-led.
I think that's completely correct. I mean, look, in David Kinneman's book, Unchristian, which is now a few years old, but I think it still stands, he said unbelievers view Christians in a series of negative ways, one of them being interested in converting them, primarily not interested in a real relationship.
Mm.
Well, I think, and we talk about in this curriculum, that we should love people, we should care people. We'd be dishonest if we said we don't want them to convert because we think that's what brings freedom.
Sure.
But even if somebody never becomes a Christian, I am to love that person because they're made in the image of God.
Mm.
That's what God calls us to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I wanted to primarily focus on the work that you're doing there with Awana and specifically this Advocate series, but you made mention of it before about a new version of Evidence That Demands a Verdict 2 that's out. If you don't mind, let me just ask you a couple questions about that as well.
Sure.
How does that differ from the first one? And you're working together with your dad on this program?
Well, yes, we are working it. We're co-authors now. What differs is it's probably 70% new content.
Mm.
But the format and the approach of Evidence, we didn't change that because it's like over 4 million in print. So we weren't going to mess with something that works. But the last edition was done in 1999. So what we did is we took out some dated material. We added a lot of new arguments. We responded to this edition of Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and we also added some new argumentation that we found. So it's your classical Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I mean, it's almost 800 pages. It's just
wow.
It's a consummate reference text for anybody interested in apologetics.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really fresh in light of the arguments and evidences and issues people are facing today.
Mm, excellent. I imagine that they can go out to your website that I gave initially in order to find out more about how they can get a copy of that book?
Yeah, we actually have it, I think, as cheap as you can buy it anywhere. I'm pretty sure. Amazon changes like every hour, so don't quote me on that. But it's as cheap. Last I checked, it was cheaper than Amazon. We'll send you a signed copy through SeanMcDowell.org.
Okay, excellent. I'll give the information about the Awana site here in just a minute. But, Sean, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in the lives of children and teens and now college students as well. Thank you for the work that you and your dad have done over the years. We really appreciate it. And thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for being a pastor who cares about the next generation and also cares about apologetics. I'm honored, and keep up the good work.
All right, you too, my friend. Thank you. All right, that was Sean McDowell that we've been talking to. As I mentioned in the top of the program, Dr. Sean McDowell. Now he's a professor of Christian apologetics at Biola University. A lot of people know him as a best-selling author. He's a very popular speaker. I've heard him speak in person before as well. And he's also, as I mentioned, a part-time high school teacher. He's a resident scholar for Summit Ministries. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Summit is like a pretty intense week-long program that is put on in different areas. He's at the one specifically Summit Ministries in California. He also blogs and so forth, and so you can read about his blog and his other projects that he's working on, some of the books that he's written and so forth, out at that website that he gave, SeanMcDowell.org. That's www.SeanMcDowell.org. McDowell is M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L. And Sean, I guess I got to spell that too because it's spelled different ways, but it's S-E-A-N, S-E-A-N, and then the last name is McDowell, M-C-D-O-W-E-L-L.org, SeanMcDowell.org. And again, the book, his latest book or project that he was working on was with Evidence That Demands a Verdict 2. A lot of people, as he mentioned, read Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And the basic was is that you couldn't be neutral. The basic concept of the book was, after being confronted with what we know about Christ, the evidence that there is for Christ and his ministry and the way that that has impacted so many other people, there's no way that you can remain neutral on that. It reminds me of the hymn many years ago, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday he'll be asking you, what will you do with me? And so you'll be asking him, what will you do with me? The Awana program that we talked about, you can find out more. It's called Advocates Series is the part that Sean McDowell was working on. You can go out to the Awana website at www.awana.org, Awana, A-W-A-N-A, Awana.org, and you can find out more about their series and how to implement an Awana program at your church and so forth. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you again next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.